Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. Got a health question? Ask Dr. Medici live today on Straight Talk on Health. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning, America. I am Dr. Vincent Medici. This is definitely indeed Straight Talk on Health. This week's going to hit 105 degrees. Make sure you hydrate. Make sure you take your sea salt. Make sure when you sweat, you replenish in every possible way, because we're in for it. I remember this happened a couple of years ago, not last September, but the September before. I remember the first week I was sitting at a cafe at 9 p.m. in the evening, and it was 107 degrees in Malibu. So beware of this and take care. Today's show, The Science of Breath. I am so happy to say, reports tell me that this show now is being heard all over the world, from South Africa to Japan to all over the United States. Please keep telling your friends. I don't think there's anything like this show in America, and I'll tell you why. Scanning the internet, as I do, and listening to the wonderful, wonderful amalgam of information out there. What I don't think we're doing enough on radio, on internet sites, on YouTube, all over the world, is giving people concepts. We give them data. That's what the computer is good for. We compile interesting facts. We tell our truths. We bare our souls. And all of this is wonderful, and let's toast to America. But what I don't think we're doing enough of, what I think is missing, are functional concepts. If you want functional concepts, you listen to this show every Saturday, 9, 10 to 11 a.m. And remember, I archive it on straighttalk.cc. The science of breath. Any of you in the holistic community, any of you that have been interested in natural medicine, have heard for years that breath is life, that there's some relationship between breath and your health. And yet there's this huge disparity between what you hear practitioners tell you, chiropractors, acupuncturists, nutritionists, Pilates instructors, rolfers, Hella workers, Feldenkrais workers, Alexander techniques, yogics, Tai Chi masters, martial artists, all telling you to breathe, that breath is life, that breath is integral to what you call health. And yet, tell that to your pulmonologist. Tell that to the guy at Kaiser. Tell that to your very fine pulmonary surgeons. Look for it in science. You're not going to find anything. Barely. There's a huge gap between what's floating out there in the esoteric field and what's considered standard science. Another big boo-boo science is made. Big boo-boo. It's 1960, and you're on the radio, and you tell your listening audience that cigarettes are bad for your health, that they cause cancer. And you are, in 1960, in 1955, to make a statement like that, just remember, those of you who are old enough to remember, if you claimed in 1960 cigarettes caused cancer, you were a buffoon. Seems like common sense looking back on it. You know what? It was common sense in 1960. It was common sense in 1950. It was common sense at the turn of the century. It was common sense in 1800 that cigarettes were not good. Just listening to your body would tell you that. But science decided that we couldn't substantiate that claim in 1960, and so it was okay to advertise that cigarettes were just the thing to do and don't worry about your health. This is the same faux pas they're making with breath. Your doctors are not being educated into the science of breath. And you know what? It's not really their fault. Their curriculums don't teach them. And you know what? I've been to many a holistic school, and they didn't teach it there either. This thing about breath is out there circulating and floating around in the ionosphere. And so naturally it's going to be understood as quackery. We are going to change your perception of that today. And for that contribution, you are going to tell your friends about this show. This is the one show of all the shows that you need to grab your friends, your workers, your family, and make them listen to this. Because I don't think there's a single thing more important than breath. But the science of breath, and there is a science, it's real. Breath, and the benefits from breath are real. So let's make it real. You're going to take an inhalation through your nose, not your mouth. If you take your inhalation through your mouth, you've ruined all the benefits. If I were counseling you, I would say sickness will follow when breath will not go through the nose. And I'm going to tell you why. So if you've got nasal polyps, if you've got allergies, if you've got a deviated septum, if you've got a really bad bite, whatever the reason, you may not be able to get breath through your nose, change that. Go to a nutritionist, your favorite nutritionist, change your diet so you don't make so much mucus in the morning or during the night. People that breathe all night with their mouth open, all night, snoring with the mouth open, breath not going through the nose, dangerous. People that don't have a good bite will not massage their sinuses. The sinuses, both those porous bones, the maxilla bones, on either side of the nose, and the ethmoid bone between your eyebrows, both those bones have holes in them. They're porous, like sponge. And those are the sinuses. And those bones, when your bite is in alignment, those bones move, they vibrate, and that vibration drains your sinus. Wow. They didn't teach you that in medical school, did they? Or chiropractic school, or acupuncture school. No, it's out there floating around, representative of people with credentials who have studied the human body, that publish, that talk, that preach, that do all the things entrepreneurs do. And then their work just collects dust. There's more good science out there on the low-end shelves of libraries at UCLA than there is at the top of the bestseller lists at Barnes & Noble, at Amazon. I kid you not. So that air has to go through the nose. I'll tell you why. If it can't, nasal polyps, allergies, the bite is off, fix those things. I promise you I'm going to get through this whole show today. So some things I'm going to have to get through. I'm going to leave that now. If the breath goes through the nose correctly, the air, the flow of air, the bombardment through the nasal passages of all that good, sweet air with the oxygen in it will go to two places. It'll go down through the oropharynx. And that's how you'll get the air into the lungs. So when it goes through the nose, some of that air, it separates. It separates and it goes down into your pharynx. And then into your bronchi, and then down into your bronchioles, and then into the alveoli sacs of the lung. And down there, that air that you bring in exchanges with the CO2, and life is sustained. That is the low end of its understanding. If that's all you understand about breath, then you should be a pulmonologist or a respiratory therapist. And those functions are important. Don't get me wrong, guys, if you're listening, if you're a pulmonologist. That's important. Very important. But there's another direction that that breath goes. That breath goes up towards the ethmoid bone. Now, the ethmoid bone is, if you take your fingers and put them right between your eyebrows, if you take your fingers and put them right between your eyebrows and go back about 3-4 millimeters, you're in another porous bone. It's got holes in it. It's got like a sinus in it. It's called the ethmoid sinus. It's a bone with holes in it. On one side of this plate of holes, it's like a screen. On one side, of the side the air hits, is the air, your nose, your nasal passages, and the one side of this bone. On the other side of this bone, sitting on the other side of this porous screen, sitting on top of that bone, on the other side of this screen, is your brain. Your brain. That's right, that brain in your calvaria, in your skull. So part of this air goes up through the nasal passages and hits the underside of the ethmoid sinus. And then on the other side of that flat bone, the brain is sitting. And now remember, there's holes in the bone. The vibration of the air zooming in, hitting the underside of the ethmoid sinus, starts to vibrate your brain. That's big. That's not little. That's huge. Now, we got to deviate a little bit. And hopefully, many of you have been on the website, have bought the subscriptions, have gotten and listened to the shows, the archived shows, so you can understand. I'm going to talk about dural tissue now. And we covered this in all the shows that I did on musculoskeletal, head and neck trauma, exercise. We talked about the dural tissue. We said that the brain has a wrapping around it. So the brain is shaped like a tadpole. The brain is this big circular blob, and then it's got this long tail. That long tail is your spinal cord. The brain and the spinal cord are encased in, they are wrapped in a tissue, a connective tissue called dural tissue, D-U-R-A-L, dural tissue. You know this. The moms out there know this. The surgeons know this tissue. We all know it from meningitis. Bacterial and viral meningitis is an attack on the dural tissue of the brain. That's why those fevers are so high and they can be so damaging. When you get an epidural, that's an injection on the outside of the dural tissue. When you get a spinal tap, that's an injection between the dural tissue, the coating to the brain, the saran wrap around the brain, and the brain itself, or the spinal cord itself. If you get a spinal tap, no, not the movie years ago, not the comedy. But if you get a spinal tap in the hospital, they stick that needle in between your dural tissue and the spinal cord, and they take out the fluid that's there. And you get a terrible headache the next day because the brain and the spinal cord are floating in cerebrospinal fluid. So when I say hits the brain is wrapped in this connective tissue called dura mater. And that dura mater has connections. It has connectivity. It has an intercommunication system from your brain all the way down to your sacrum. That's right. All the way down there by the sit bone, the part of you that's near the chair you're sitting in or the car seat you're on, is communicating via this tissue through the connective tissue, through the dural tissue. So you're taking that breath in. Your nasals are clear. Fantastic. Part of that breath goes down your throat into your lungs. Fantastic. The other part is vibrating through the ethmoid bone, the dural tissue that your brain is sitting on top of. That's like music. That's opera. That's Pavarotti. That's Placido Domingo to your brain and your spinal cord. And what that causes is a pulse, a vibration, a massage. Massage. Like put your hands on someone's body and massage them. Breath is an internal massage of that tissue. We're going to turn breath into science. They didn't teach you this in school. You got to piece it together. You got to connect the dots. You got to know how to think. Go do a YouTube search and try to find this. It's not going to be there. It's not going to be in any books. But people know this. I'm not the only person that knows this. I learned this in part from others. You got to be able to think. That's why you listen to this show. That's why you get to the website. That's why you suffer through some of these lectures that are a little more complicated. That's why some of your friends say, I just want to know what to take. That's okay. But not if you're locked into the chronic mayhem of illness. Are you? Do you really ask yourself whether it's worth getting up once to twice a week? Do you know that that's not normal? It's common. I bet you a lot of people can relate to not wanting to get out of bed in the morning. To really thinking, gee, I'm 60, I'm 70, my dreams are shot. It's time to stay home and just die. I'll bet you there's a ton of people thinking that way. It's not normal to think that way. What have we done? We had dreams. Hey, if you're over 50, you're from the Wonder Bread generation. I don't know about you, but I grew up eating Wheaties, the breakfast of champions. We had a dream, and when you hit 50 or 60 or 70, you ask yourself where that dream went. Because lots of things can accommodate that depression. Pharmaceutical drugs, bad diets, I don't have to tell you. Let me tell you, when breath hits your dural tissue, you will release endorphins. So step one is get it through the nose and get that nose clear and hit the dural tissue and understand why, now that you took the time to spread, massage, and vibrate your dura from your head down to your sacrum. When that happens, your spinal joints separate. Your spinal joints separate. Back pain goes away from good breath. Not the breath you learn from your pulmonologist. Not the breath you think you understand. Not the breath half of the yogics in America are telling you to do. Yes, breath is an art. Breath masters, yes, there are people that really know breath. There's an MD psychiatrist named Stan Grof. G-R-O-F. Look up some of his work, holotropic breath work. But it's not just him. Lots of people. Ida Rolf understood breath. Reich understood breath. Assorted doctors, scientists, laypersons, health educators like myself have understood breath and enjoy its benefits. I certainly do. I understand breath. I have since the early 90s. So this breath then opens your joints. This breath then, as the dural tissue gets massaged, produces endorphins. This breath then puts you in parasympathetic dominance. Parasympathetic dominance. Versus sympathetic dominance. It manipulates your autonomic nervous system. A lot of words here today, a lot of concepts. So your electrical system, not your biochemistry, forget your biochemistry. Bury it. Forget pharmaceutical, herbal approaches to the health of your organs, just for argument's sake. Not really, right? You understand the context of the statement. Just look at the vibrational perspective, but it's a real perspective. When the body shifts into parasympathetic mode from breath, meaning when you get deeply relaxed, do you understand that? So just think of that moment. After you make love, you're relaxed. I certainly hope so. When you pray, when you meditate, when you have a good workout, when you hug a loved one, all these things, you relax. Breath produces that feeling. That feeling is when the electrical system from your brain and spinal cord hit your organs and tell the chemicals what to do. When you're in that mode, everything works right. Your digestion works right. Your joints work right. Your alignment works right. Your mind thinks right. But you have to know what that feeling is. You just can't sit there and nod your head and smile or say, that makes sense. Well, no, I shouldn't say that. Do that. But you got to hit critical mass. You have to make the concept functional. So if we talk about breath shifting you into parasympathetic mode, you know that when your body has a corresponding physiological effect. So we're not talking quackery here. You could take the greatest skeptic. You know, there's a magazine out there. It's called Skeptic Magazine. I love that magazine. I mean, these people don't think anything works. Nothing. Only God knows what their health must be like. It's called Skeptic Magazine. I understand their perspective. Believe me, I do. Because there's so much esoteric jargon that's often limbo, that you can see people with educations coming in from the outside and saying, look, I'd love to give this a shot, but I don't see anything here. I just ask those people, the skeptics, and I want you to ask those people, those skeptics, just to back up and make a little room for the fact that science misses a lot of stuff. There is a flaw in science. There is a crack in the wall of science. And that crack causes people to overlook their connection to their body and their common sense. If we do not introduce this perception into science, into what the world constitutes reality as, we are going to die. Yeah, I know, I'm just making that up. Sounded good. It's sensational. What do you call telling people in 1960 that cigarettes were okay? What do you call the chemical levels in food today, from the dioxins to all the others? And our consumer agencies saying that those are acceptable levels. It comes from scientists who drank the Kool-Aid. What happened to their common sense? So when you meet these people, I want to educate you to ask them to consider in the history of medicine, mistakes have been made. By the time the politics of science documents something, by the time it's passed all their stipulations and double-blind studies, you've been dead 200 years. Ask them to consider that from the bottom of your heart, not to insult their intelligence, not to turn this into a war, but simply to ask them to make space for the whole in science. At the same time, hold yourself holistic practitioner, people who believe in natural medicine. Hold yourself responsible for bringing to the forum stuff that's functional. So if you're going to say you're a vegan and you don't need amino acids and you don't need meat, work your mind to flush out all the flaws in your argument. If you're going to say that breath is necessary for life, go after it tenaciously and try to bring it to science. But don't get tripped up in the potholes of science. Do you see the point here? If you're listening, if you want to tell your friends, we have a calamity at hand. We have a national health crisis built into exactly what I'm talking about. This is how to fix it. How to fix it is like this. It's this simple. Take 50 people that understand breath. Put them in a room. Have them interviewed. Have their political agendas exposed. And find out they're just people out there. And take my word for it. There are people who get breath. There are housewives out there with their kids who get it. There are grandmothers that always got it but never knew it. There are health practitioners that do and then those that don't. The human species understands breath. Not all of them, not even a lot of them, but a percentage of them. If you can take a breath and feel your body relax deeply, and we've all had those moments, then you understand how to shift into parasympathetic dominance. You understand that. I'm explaining the reasons. So that breath goes up through the nose, through the nostrils. It bounces on the underside of the porous ethmoid bone. On the other side of that, it vibrates your dura around the brain, down the spinal cord. Your joints begin to separate. You start to feel truly relaxed. You're engaging your parasympathetics. As you continue that breath, your belly begins to expand. Now we're talking about belly breath, baby breath, Lamaze breath. Gee, it's funny how babies know how to breathe. It's funny that moms, when it really counts, right, moms? When you're pushing out that first huge head, when your husband's 6'4 and you're 5'2, dues to pay, huh? You better know how to breathe. A head coming out as big as mine, my poor mother. Even the forceps didn't work on me. I think I chewed them off. When you got a big head coming down a vaginal canal, that woman has to know how to breathe. That's Lamaze. You see how Lamaze is built into the physiology of the body? We couldn't hallucinate Lamaze breath, right, ladies? We couldn't all go pay to learn to do Lamaze breath and not know if it worked or not, correct? See, that's where it's beautiful. That something into the claim, Lamaze breath, is built in to the system where you can assess the authenticity. Meaning if you learned Lamaze breath and it didn't work, you were going to know it. Lamaze breath has lasted because it works. But what does it do? It allows you to relax so you can dilate that cervix. So a head that big can come down that canal so we don't tear. So the baby doesn't get caught in the canal. So that belly expands, if it can expand. Belly breathing. Pavarotti. Placido Domingo. Opera stars. Gospel singers. Everybody understands belly breath. People that are relaxed in their bodies, their bellies tend to stick out, like your babies. That means something. What about those guys with the pom-pom hats on in England? Those guys, where are they? They're in front of some big place. Is it Buckingham Palace? I don't know. Those guys, tall, 6'4", I think you got to be, flat. You walk back and forth in eight-hour shifts. Those guys standing there like boards. Guess what? If you ask them to let their belly hang out, if they breathe air through the nose, the belly doesn't come out. The belly's locked up. It doesn't come out because they've been holding it in. They've been saluting people. They're just the soldiers. They're not paid to think. They have to execute. Well, when we need it, great. But they need to relax too. And when you're that stiff and rigid in your abdominal cavity, and you can't let it hang out. You can't get breath. You can't go into parasympathetic mode. You lose judgment then. Stress costs judgment. Stress costs stress costs discretion. You out there, you. Yes, I'm talking to you. You run a business, don't you? You work hard. Sometimes you want to scream. But you know, because you're a veteran and a professional and an entrepreneur and a constitutionalist working for yourself, you know that stress is not a good environment to make a decision with it. How do you get out of stress mode? Breath. So all those people that can't let that belly hang out, that's costly. You got to factor that in when you're talking to these people. Really do. Now, when that belly goes out, the connective tissue on your belly, on your belly button, up and down your belly, your six-pack abs, those things need to get stretched out. Breath stretches them. There's a learning process through which you begin to bring air through the nose. It goes down, and your belly starts to come out. And if it can't, you push towards it, and you learn to belly breathe. Well, we can't teach you this on radio, but that's the concept. As the belly is coming out, the diaphragm begins to drop down. Now we're getting to the guts of it. Now we're getting to something huge here. The diaphragm. What is the diaphragm? Now, I promise you, by Sunday night, I'm going to have pictures up on the website, straighttalk.cc. We're going to keep them available for everybody. And get on the website and look at these pictures. So if you're just not into scanning the internet to find all the graphics that could explain some of this, the pictures at least, the functions, no, it's nowhere to be found. But the pictures of diaphragm, of the ethmoid bone, I'll put them on the website, straighttalk.cc. But you don't need it if you just use your brain. The diaphragm, like a piece of saran wrap, the diaphragm is a thin muscle. Take a bowl, the bowl you eat your oatmeal in. Not those deep bowls, but the wide bowls. Turn it upside down. It's like a dome. It's like a dome. It's not a high dome like a deep bowl. It's a wide bowl. Take that, put it upside down, and put it right through your body. Take it right now. Take that bowl, a wide bowl, turn it upside down, and put it through your body from the front of your belly until one end of it starts to hit your spine. So that that bowl, that upside down bowl, would divide your body in two. That's easy. And instead of a ceramic bowl, let's pretend you had a thin muscle, a really thin muscle. That's your diaphragm. Your diaphragm is a dome-shaped muscle. It's weird looking. It's not like your bicep, you know, your Popeye muscles. It's not like your buttocks muscles. It's a weird looking muscle. Take that bowl that you eat your oatmeal in or your Wheaties. One of those bowls, not too deep, shallow. Turn it upside down, it's like a dome. Now take that dome and just put it so it cuts right through your body. At what level through your body? Down by your waist? No, just underneath your ribs. So you put that dome-shaped muscle from front to back, just under your ribs. You got it. That's the diaphragm, guys. Very simple. Now to the fascinating part. In the center of that bowl, in other words, the bottom of the bowl, upside down, splitting your body in two, the center of that doesn't look like muscle. It looks like white chicken gristle. So a lot of this bowl is a red, thin muscle. You know, like one of those carne asada steaks. Those nice, thin, red things. Grill them up nice and rare. Sour cream, a little guacamole, some salsa. Keep the carbs away. Don't do that rice and bean deal. Just lay on that meat and fat. Bring that into your body. A lot of your diaphragm is that red meat, but it's thin like a carne asada. But the center of it, upside down, splitting your body in two just under the ribs, in the center of it is a white gristle. It's called the tendon. It's called the central tendon of the diaphragm. The central tendon. It's a tendon. It doesn't look like the carne asada. It looks like a white saran wrap. So you've got this dome-shaped muscle tendon in there with a central tendon. That dome-shaped carne asada is connected to the underside of all your ribs. So the edge of your ribs, feel them. You can feel them go down below the breast, male or female, until you can push underneath the ribs, all around from front to all the way to the back. The diaphragm inserts there, and it also inserts into your spine. The diaphragm is a dome-shaped muscle with a central tendon that inserts all around the circumference of the midsection of your body. There's technical jargon. Now, air goes through the nose, and we know that story. Belly starts to come out, we understand that story. Diaphragm starts to come down. As it comes down, the diaphragm moves the center of the bowl down, the center of it, where the central tendon is. The central tendon contracts. The diaphragm goes down between 1 and 10 centimeters, and we'll talk about that variation. The central tendon of the diaphragm contracts, and the diaphragm comes down between 1 and 10 centimeters, and the edges push the rib cage out. Upside down. Bowl. It's a dome. The central tendon of it contracts as the belly comes out. The central tendon contracts and pushes out the underside of your rib cage, and your whole rib cage begins to expand because your lungs are following your diaphragm. As your lungs come down, as your diaphragm comes down, your lungs go with it. The rib cage expands. The lungs are filling with air. You got it. You did it. That's the dynamic action. Air in through the nose, the belly comes out, the diaphragm comes down, it spreads out the rib cage. The lungs fill with air, they continue to fill with air. Okay, I'll let you sit on that. Yes, this is a show you'll have to hear again on the website, straighttalk.cc, if this is your first time. What a first time it would be for you if it was. Now, here's something really big. This is big, 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 big. As the central tendon of the diaphragm drops down between 1 and 10 centimeters, that's between a half an inch and 5 inches. Wow. There's variation in the descension. There's a variation in how far that tendon comes down. That variation is enormous. It's enormous in its importance because sitting right on top of the central tendon of the diaphragm is your heart. And your heart is wrapped in dural tissue, but we don't call it dural tissue. We call the skin around the heart the pericardium. Remember pericarditis? And yes, I promise I'll get pictures up on this. Unless you want to just go to YouTube yourself and look at all these things. Diaphragm, pericardium, central tendon. You'll get all these pictures. But I'll put them on there from Netter. Get Netter's anatomy book. Frank Netter. Genius. He was the Michelangelo of medical anatomy. Frank Netter. Get the Atlas of Human Anatomy, the 4th or 5th edition. He was the Picasso, the Michelangelo, the Da Vinci of anatomy. I dissected hundreds of bodies at my chiropractic school. I ran the lab there. amazing anatomy. Get the pictures. When the diaphragm comes down, the central tendon drops low. The heart is sitting on it, and the pericardium, the skin around the heart, goes with the diaphragm. They're tied into each other. You could kind of say they're stuck to each other. You could say as the central tendon drops up to 10 centimeters, the heart goes with it. Because that's during inhalation. And when you let the air out, you exhale, the diaphragm comes back up, and so does the heart. So as the central tendon dips, the heart goes with it. As you exhale, the heart goes back up. The heart comes down, the heart comes up, the heart comes down. The heart is squeezed. The heart is massaged with breath. But what does that mean to your coronary arteries? What does that mean to the possibility of the blood becoming hypercoagulated and forming a clot? What does that mean? It means if you get heart massage, you've got illness. At least you're bringing the health of your natural breath rhythm to the heart. Now, we can do study after study after study after study, and we can debate this issue for the next 2,000 years. And we can listen to all these supposedly insane people that learn what breath is, and we can tell them that they're stupid, that they're hallucinating, that they have ulterior motives. And then we can find out someday, hopefully, that we were wrong when we said a good deep breath does not give health to the circulatory system in the interest of reducing the thickness of the blood, which can cause clots, in the interest of reducing the buildup of cardiovascular plaque, fatty and otherwise, to move fluid, blood, through every single little hole, muscular space in the heart is enhanced through breath. Breath is massage. And we can say, where are the studies and where are the proofs and where is this, that, and the other thing? And so we're not going to know this, and the studies are inconclusive when your common sense is looking at this. We already know the heart moves with the diaphragm. That is not debatable. Yeah, I know my heart just cleared out just now from a good deep breath. And if you watched my heart move, it went down with my diaphragm. Shucks, Ma. I wonder what that might mean. Think about it. We say breath is an internal massage to the organ systems. We know the pericardium of the heart is stuck on the central tendon of the diaphragm. You can see these pictures in Netter. They're there. You can see this when you dissect bodies. I know. They're there. So, belly out, diaphragm down. As the diaphragm drops, the pericardium of the heart moves with it. It massages the heart. The rib cage begins to expand and expand and expand and expand. As the rib cage expands, your thoracic spine goes into an arch. An arch. Breath arches the spine. Breath arches the spine because as the diaphragm moves down, its attachment to the spine pulls the spine into extension. As the diaphragm goes down, its attachment to the spine through the crura, the right and left cruce of the diaphragm, pulls on the bones and puts the spine into extension. It arches your back. It massages your spine. If you could arch more, you could go into back bend. You could open up your pectoralis muscles. Gymnasts, martial artists, cheerleaders, yogics. Everybody understands the importance of not slouching over, of actually having a spine that can bend the other way. Breath does that. Breath keeps the spine flexible. Not if the diaphragm's dropping 1 centimeter. Not if you're walking to and fro Buckingham Palace with a pom-pom on your head. But really and truly, breath arches the spine. And that arch to the spine is another asset of health, just as heart massage is an asset of health. Now, as you arch the spine and as the breath, as the rib cage expands and as the lungs fill the expansion, you begin to pull on the second and third rib. And as you pull on the second and third rib, the upper ribs, it stretches muscles in the front of your neck. Those muscles are called the scalenes. Any of the shows I've done on musculoskeletal, from exercise to head and neck trauma, we talk about the scalenes. I'll put them on the website. The scalenes, the set of muscles in front of the neck. As the upper rib cage pulls, the scalenes stretch. You will feel at the end of inhalation the stretch in your neck. You will feel at the end of the inhalation the stretch in your neck. So first you feel the stretch in your belly and it feels good. Then you feel the stretch in your back because your back is arching and it feels good. Then you feel the stretch in your chest as your heart moves down and your rib cage expands and it feels good. Then you feel the stretch in your neck. No, you don't. You don't feel any of this. But you're taking a breath. So you think. So I got to draw a line in the sand. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I don't care if you're a fellow holistic practitioner, John Q. Public. It doesn't matter. You don't understand breath. So just admit that and learn it. It's out there. Ferret it out. Come to my school, the Medici Institute of Advanced Nutritional Education. I'm not going to treat you. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to teach you to apply therapy to yourself. And I'm doing it with 3 classes simultaneously, and they're getting bigger. And they're going to get bigger. And the reason they're getting bigger is because you need this. If your health is important to you, once every 6 weeks in a 6 to 8 hour class is worth your time. Because there's something about doing it in person that's better than doing it any other way I know. Much to learn about breath. You've got to feel it. You got to feel it in your neck. Because if you do, it means your rib cage is moving and your scalenes are stretching. So put your hands around your neck or just put your 2 fingers, put each hand just a couple of inches to the left of the Adam's apple, left and right. So just expand out from the Adam's apple into the around where the carotid artery is. And press in there, not your carotid, but go wide about 3 inches and press into those muscles around the neck. Press hard enough. Do it. Those muscles are going to hurt. They should feel good, but if they hurt, it's because your scalenes are not expanding with your breath. But if they were, something magical happens again. Something magical happens again. If your scalenes expand and you feel your neck stretch out and it feels good, your occiput, now we're in the back of your head, the first cervical vertebra and the second cervical vertebra begin to stretch. They begin to decompress. You will feel the stretch in the front of your neck and the back of your neck into the suboccipital space from left to right in the back of your head. When breath works, you will feel the stretch in the neck and behind the head. That's big. That's really, really, really big because cranial nerve 10, the vagus nerve, exits through the brainstem and goes through that same space, and that delivers the parasympathetic supply to all your organ systems, all the way down to your intestines. Sit on that. That's huge. Breath begins with air through the nose and the belly opening. So to speak, it goes up the spine, really. Meaning, as the diaphragm comes down, the central tendon pulls the heart down and massages the heart. Simultaneously to that, the rib cage expands. As the rib cage is expanding, your pectoralis muscles get stretched. Those muscles between your shoulder blades that ache, that all massage therapists spend half their day massaging, those muscles, the rhomboids, they stretch. The pectoralis muscles, the big and the little ones, stretch. The rhomboids, the big and the littles, they stretch. The scalenes, they stretch. As the scalenes stretch, the posterior cervicals, occiput C1, C2, decompress. That enhances the outflow of vagal energy, of the electrical power of the vagus nerve to each and every organ that it supplies to organize the chemistry of your cells. Tell that to your pulmonologist. Where are the studies? There are studies. There are. The scientists that have taken the time, look up the science of breath. There are books out there. I'll put one on the website. Not a lot, though. Not a lot. We all talk about vagal outflow. We all know what it is to enhance flow of parasympathetic energy to the organ systems. And if someone has the physical experience of knowing that, they will tell you. They will argue you to the bone. They will argue you at Harvard, at Yale, at Princeton, at Dartmouth, at Stanford. That breath enhances the parasympathetic flow through the vagus nerve, because once you feel it in your body, you are not to be told you're wrong. Science. Where did science decide to tell intelligent people that what they feel isn't really going on? Because that is what you deal with, my good public, every single day. That is wrong. It's all in your head. It's not really happening. And I never heard of that, so it doesn't exist. Is that science? Is that science? When somebody presents to somebody a cure, something that works, traditionally, from the beginning of time, it is fought by everybody that represents the institution. When we introduced the plane, the car, the telephone, when Pasteur started his infectious theory and told people to sterilize their instruments, he was told he was a quack. History repeats itself. Where is our historical perspective? When we lay down dictum, or when we recount personal experience like breath, and then are told by pulmonology and O2 CO2 therapists that this is nonsense. There's something contrary to your common sense. There is a chord in you that knows that something's wrong. That's why you listen to this show and other shows like it. So get this correct. Breath up through the nose. Expansion of the belly, the descension of the diaphragm, the central tendon arching the spine, the opening of the rib cage, the stretching of the scalenes, the stretching of the pecs, the stretching of your rhomboids, the opening of the occiput C1, C2 to the point where you get an enhanced vagal outflow. You get more intense into the parasympathetic zone. Big, 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 and big. But not if your pants are too tight. Not if your belt is too tight. Not if you have high heels. Not if your diet's not good. Not if you're ridiculously overweight. Breath is something you learn. Not if your emotional body is so overwrought. You wouldn't even take a deep breath. Not if you're so inflexible. You can breathe one day and we take a chain and we wrap it around your rib cage and pull it tight. Ladies, think of your bras. How are you going to get a diaphragmatic breath? You can't. You won't. So think of the way you live, and then don't be so curious why. This may all sound like something from Mars. Because the way we live today shuts down the natural rhythm of breath. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health, straighttalk.cc. We're coming to the end here, the end of this wonderful show, for you to sit on another concept. Now, what do you do with all this? Go bother your yoga instructors. Bother your chiropractors. Read. Come to my school. Go to Stan Grof. He's got holotropic breath seminars all over the world. Study this stuff yourself. But understand that when you do it right, you're going to feel it in your body. And if you're not feeling it, don't think you own it. Test the claim. Test the authenticity of my claim today to your experience. And trust that if you're not having that experience, you haven't learned it yet. That's science. That is science. It's a stretched out science, admittedly. But it's a science that allows your physical experience of truth. And if science is to take that away from us, there is no science. And that has been our failure. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, Straight Talk on Health. Get to the website. Come to the school. God bless you. Have a great week.
Been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. And the best part, you can call in live with your health questions every week. For those of you still holding for Dr. Medici, stay on hold. He'll continue to answer calls for as long as it takes. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. And remember, to contact his office for an appointment, call Rachel or Johanna at 310-320-1132. That's 310-320-1132. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.